You are listening a podcast from the World Stroke Academy, the educational platform of the World Stroke Organization.
On the occasion of International Women's Day, we at the World Stroke Academy want to celebrate the achievements and careers of women in stroke and highlight female leadership. We interviewed outstanding women who were nominated by WSO board members for their important contributions to the field of stroke. This is the fifth episode of the hashtag Women in Stroke Initiative podcast.
My name is Selina Schwarz. I'm the executive manager of the WSA, and I'm here today with Professor Dominique Cadillac. Hi, Dominique.
Hi, Elena.
Professor Cadillac has a clinical background in nursing and is a health services researcher and NHMRC senior research fellow with over 220 articles. She has the Translational Public Health and Evaluation Research Division, Stroke and Aging Research at Monash University, and is the data custodian for the Australian Stroke Clinical Registry at the Florey Institute. Her skill set includes epidemiology, implementation science, and economic evaluation. Dear Dominique, first of all, congratulations on these nominations by WSO board members. It's very nice to have you here with us today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'd like to start with the first question. That is, could you tell our listeners how you did become interested in stroke research?
Well, I kind of fell into it because I was looking for work that would tie in my clinical experience working in the hospital where I was looking after stroke patients. And I got the opportunity to become a clinical trials nurse with Professor Stephen Davis at the Royal Melbourne Hospital. Little did I know that would really whet my appetite for wanting to really get into understanding more about stroke and driving my own research program rather than working for pharmaceutical-initiated trials that we were doing at the time, which was back in 1995. So it's been a long journey, and I got a lot of my inspiration from working with Professor Stephen Davis and colleagues such as Professor Jeffrey Donham. And they, you know, encouraged me as, you know, a female who has a background in nursing to really take leadership roles. And they provided support for me in terms of encouraging my research interests. So going on and doing a Master's of Public Health and then also a PhD. And my interests are really about how to improve stroke care. And that's why I wanted to influence health policy and practice, and having research skills like economic evaluation and policy analysis, priority setting, as well as how to compare the standards of care in hospitals were things that I felt were really important. And it was at a time when clinical guidelines didn't really exist for stroke, but we knew that there were differences in the way patient outcomes were being achieved by different hospitals purely by the way in which they'd organised their stroke service and how they were delivering care.
Could you tell us where do you see opportunities for women in the field?
I think there are many opportunities for women to work in any area of stroke. And I feel that, we bring an important contribution, and it's more through our understanding of different approaches possibly, but also the fact that I don't think gender should be an issue. I think it's more that we can work together and really try to make sure things that are important across the continuum of care that are important to patients and their families really come to the fore. And I think that there are lots of different research techniques. And I feel that, women have an opportunity to learn any of them, whether it's big data science, whether it's qualitative social science research, all of them are really valuable because they help form a different part of the puzzle of stroke and how we then design and deliver the best interventions to not only treat stroke, but also to prevent stroke.
I absolutely agree. What is the best piece of advice you have received?
I think the best piece of advice that I have received is that you should work with people that you like, because it makes the work, you know, the work is always difficult and challenging. Doing research has, you know, many ups and downs, whether it's, you know, getting governance approvals or, you know, getting the grant funds that we need to do the research that we really feel passionate about. So working with people that you like just makes it a lot easier. And also working with people that have different skills to you, because that's where the magic happens. When people come together that have different ways of thinking about how to solve a problem, have different ways of applying, you know, a range of methods, then you get the best out of everybody and, you know, you get a really good outcome.
In your daily work, what inspires you?
I feel that my work does have a direct influence on the care patients receive in hospital, and that then directly influences their outcomes. Because I lead the National Registry Program in Australia, the data that we're collecting through that is helping us to understand when there's variation in practice, where people are not necessarily getting best practice care. And the fact that it's standardised data collection means that we're comparing apples and apples regardless of where a patient is treated. So understanding and being able to feed that back directly to clinicians and ensuring that we have then mechanisms to help work through how to improve the quality of care and to then measure that, and creating systems or models of healthcare delivery and proving that, you know, what works or what doesn't work. And then knowing that you can show that those differences and those changes that you've implemented within the health system then can be related back or associated with the outcomes that you achieve. I think the other thing that inspires me in my daily work is that we're always discovering new facts about the people that experience stroke to help us target better management, and it really drives me to keep doing that type of work. I feel passionate about the area in particular because I've had family members also have strokes. They've not necessarily always survived their stroke, but I have the direct influence of the impacts of what it can mean to a family through having experienced it directly too.
Thank you for sharing this. And going back to your achievements in and your career, which has been outstanding, what do you think has been your greatest achievement of your career so far?
I think being a role model for other clinician researchers that may not necessarily come from a medical or science background, has been one of my proudest achievements in seeing, you know, clinician researchers flourish and evolve their own research careers. In terms of the work that I do, I'm very proud of the fact that we have established the Australian Stroke Clinical Registry over the last 11 years, and that the data linkage program that's associated with that has also meant that we can maximise the utility of the data for informing clinical practice and policy in Australia. Because we've never had that before, and we've really been able to use the data from the registry to inform how to best deliver services. So, for example, we've recently been going through the COVID crisis with the pandemic, and we've been able to directly pull out data from the registry and do interrupted time series analyses to illustrate to policy and government partners in the registry what that means for stroke. Because what we've determined in that example was that people were not getting access to stroke units as often as they were prior to the pandemic, that there were delays in getting access to treatment. And in fact, if people were not getting onto the stroke unit, they weren't getting evidence-based care at a similar level to prior to the pandemic. However, if you get onto the stroke unit, you actually get the same level of high quality care. So the message to policymakers is don't change the resources for stroke and don't redirect patients to different wards, because you then reduce the likelihood of their opportunity for better outcomes after this major catastrophic event. I think the other greatest achievement has been the telemedicine program that we've established in Australia within the Victorian context, and that is now a model for how to develop telemedicine programs around Australia.
Thank you. And finally, could you share with us your ongoing research projects and any future plans?
So at the moment, I'm focused on pieces of work that will help support people in the community after stroke. So we're doing a randomised controlled trial of electronic health, electronic support that is tied to patient-centred goal setting. So I'm very pleased that we've now recruited our 200th patient. And I think in the era of COVID, we've been very fortunate that we've been able to utilise e-health and e-consent to ensure that our clinical trial has been able to be maintained and we've been able to keep it going, because many of the things that we were already implementing meant that we didn't have to have in-person contact with patients. So that's one of our big programs. We've got other programs looking at patient-reported outcomes and how best to feed that back to hospitals so that they use the information to target and prioritise patients who may be more vulnerable after stroke and may have unplanned readmissions. So there's a piece of research that we're doing on that. And the other thing that I'm really trying to drive and strive for is better use of economic evaluation data. So part of my role is as the chair of the Health Economics Working Group for the European Stroke Organisation, and we have recently published a paper on best practice approaches to doing economic evaluations in stroke. And we've also now been working with VISTA so that we can try and utilise existing data from clinical trials to help undertake and use the data that's already existing to inform health economic questions around, you know, the best opportunities for investing in stroke care, for example. So this is a piece of work that I'm quite passionate about in terms of bringing the field up, because it is an area that we haven't had a lot of critical mass and evolution. So we're trying to all come together, the people that have an interest in that area, to raise the standards, but also to ensure that we have a focus on the costs and benefits of care that we're providing, all the different options, so that we can inform better policy and investments in stroke care.
Thank you very much for taking time for this interview. I think all of us are looking forward to hearing about these results from your randomized controlled trial and also read up on your research. Thank you, Dominique.
Thank you, Elena.